Hello, everyone. It's Abby here from the future when we recorded this episode. So we recorded this episode. As you can hear, my voice is almost gone. I'm almost dying. I'm away filming something at the moment. But we recorded this episode about a month ago, kind of in the middle of a PTSD flashback moment. I was really, really, really mentally unwell in this record. To be honest, the nightmare fuel last week was from the same recording session with Ruben K. That was amazing. Go and listen if you haven't heard it. But I was really mentally unwell, and I was so grateful that Ruben came and really carried the episode because I had nothing in me. And, you know, there are a lot of amazing things about this job, but the hardest for sure is having to perform when you are depressed or anxious or having personal things going on, because while the podcast team are amazing and, you know, very flexible and very supportive, and same with television to an extent, obviously I have to go to set. So this episode may be funny in a way. Imagine you're having the worst day of your life and you have to go and do an Ask Me Anything. This is the vibe. I mean, it's the literal outcome. But so if you listen to this and you think, fuck, Abby's negative, yeah. And I still wanted to upload this because I think it's a really valuable insight into how your mind and your brain changes when you're depressed, how your outlook on life changes and you kind of hate everything. I mean, I'm still kind of reeling from this episode. And by episode, I mean episode of mental health issues. I think it's been 5 weeks or something. And I still am very, I wouldn't say I'm depressed, but I have tinges. And I think, I keep thinking things like, nothing matters anyway. So why would I bother trying to look nice? Okay, that's kind of giving depression. But to be fair, I'm filming a TV show where I'm in hair and makeup every day. I'm in wardrobe every day. And I think that the contrast of like how I'm feeling versus how I'm looking or what I'm doing on set is really intense. So I'll do an episode about that in a couple of weeks when I'm back from filming. But we just wanted to let you know that this episode is very negative and very depressing. And I wanted to upload it, and I think the team agreed because we thought it was a good insight into how your mental health can affect your worldview and your joy. And I was really struggling at this point. And I think mental health, like I said in the previous episode, a lot of time, particularly for public figures, unless it's them handling it themselves and none of the public seeing what is actually wrong, it's not really understood, I guess. Not that PTSD isn't understood, although I don't think it is, but if you're a normal person, like when I was working a 9-to-5, and if I had a bad day, I could sit on my desk and just like be grumpy to myself, be depressed to myself, be anxious to myself, get through my 9-to-5 day, do my spreadsheet and be quiet. But in this job, I have the privilege of being able to perform all the time and have fun. And that's my job, which is so fucking like, obviously it's amazing. I'm so lucky to have this job. But the contrast to that is when you do have those bad days, you can't hide away from it. And that means you have maybe public showings of your mental health issues. And this episode is one of those. I actually don't really remember it. I'm not going to lie. I don't recall any of it. That's also a sign that I wasn't feeling well. But yeah, I don't think that I'm feeling depressed. I think I have like the aftermath of this episode and the depression and the sadness. And I think in some ways, this period of time has really changed me for the better and made me much happier. But in other ways, I'm a bit more apathetic about things. And that is cause for concern if the root of that is depression. So I have another couple of weeks of filming. So when I get back, we'll do an episode about how I'm feeling mentally. We'll do another Ask Me Anything. If you have any more questions from this, please send in voice notes to Hello It's Lot Podcast. If you have any comments about how you cope when you're depressed or how you get your quote unquote energy up, or maybe in contrast, how you take care of yourself, I would love to hear them. If you have PTSD, I would love to hear your perspective. Send in a voice note and let me know any tips you have for the aftermath of a PTSD flashback. Anyway, love you all so much. Thank you for listening. I think this will be entertaining in the fact that it's so fucking negative and depressing, but look, love yous.
A Listener Production.
This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past, present. We extend our respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Hello, everyone. So,
Lem has tried your new toy.
Oh, Lem has tried the option A. I'm feeling a bit depressed today, lol, so that's why I probably sound monotone. But, okay, Lem has cheered me up by telling me that she tried option A.
Yeah. So, I'll have it be known that I've never actually put anything other than a finger inside my ass.
Wow, I didn't know that.
No, I haven't. So I think, because it would have gone out your chat with G-Spot and Lucy.
Okay, love.
So I actually did feel encouraged.
You went, you know what?
Yeah, I'm like, because especially when G-Spot was saying like, it's fine, you can do it, you can wash with your finger, you can wash with this, you can wash with that. So then I was just like, okay. Had a good digestive system day.
Good. You have tick.
Yeah. And so first I tried the bullet by itself and I was like, okay, good. It goes in. So that fine. Like it's not meant goes to go in all the way, but I was just like, can I go like
Lem,
with that diameter?
Lem. Okay. Newsflash. Do not put the fucking bullet. We said it on the podcast.
I know.
Do not put the bullet vibrator in your asshole. It will get trapped up there. Lem.
It wasn't trapped. It was just a tiny bit of it. I just wanted to know if the diameter fit.
Okay, newsflash, don't do what Lem did in that instance, but continue. Okay.
And then I'm like, I'm not going to use the bigger mold. So day one, I tried and I failed. It didn't work, actually.
What do you mean?
Like I couldn't put the smaller mold in.
Okay, yeah. But so, you could put the vibrator in a little bit, which you shouldn't do. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Then second day, I was like, actually what happened was like, I wasn't really sure like how I'm contracting and when I'm like, I wasn't sure if the sensation when you're contracting and when you're relaxing.
Right. Okay. Like you couldn't like figure out.
I couldn't tell the difference. Like I knew there's two sensations, but I didn't know which is which.
Okay.
And then my partner helped me out. I'm like, what is this? Relaxing. What is this? It's contracting. Okay, cool. Awesome. Now I know what it is.
Oh my God.
And that was when I, with a fuck ton of lube, was able to put the thing in with the bullet, the smaller mold.
Oh my God. Fully in?
Fully in. And fuck, the vibration is insane. Like I've
never,
right? So first of all, the remote, game changer.
Yes.
It's so good.
Uh-huh.
Very good technology.
Love it.
Slight design flaw I'm going to talk about now.
Okay.
You can't get the bullet out when there's lube all over. You actually, which forces you to wash it and dry it. And then be able to remove the bullet if you want to change it into the other mold.
Of course, because everything's lubed up. It's like trying to open a bottle of Coke with moisturized hands.
Pretty much. So that's why I couldn't get the bullet out to put it in the bigger mold.
And did you put lube in the over the bullet vibrator before you put it in the...
No.
Okay, you've got to do that.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in the instructions, but obviously you didn't read them.
I'm an Arab. I don't read instructions.
Yeah. Well, you don't got, like, obviously you can get it, but it's like, it's much easier if you put the lube on the bullet vibrator first and put it in the mold and then you can kind of squeeze it out, but it also would be, if everything's covered in lube, everything's going to be hard to move around regardless.
Yeah. No, it was very, very enjoyable. I had a very good orgasm.
Was it different? Did you feel different in your orgasm?
I felt very different from my usual orgasms. Yes, I have to say. So
I love this review from Lynn.
Highly recommend. This is not just because I fucking love Abby, but like I did try this and I really liked it. And I'm like, this is fucking smooth. And it's very easy to charge. Yeah.
This is fucking smooth. oh my God, this is incredible because genuinely, I feel like no one is believing me that it feels good. Everyone thinks that it's like a bit that I'm doing. And I'm like, no, it actually is.
It's
like revolutionary.
And you can just leave
it
in there as well. Like at one point you just like pull your hands out and it will do the work for you.
Love.
If you're like in a certain angle and you like use that to like push it in a little bit more. It's just amazing.
It's
like,
incredible. Okay, I love this. Did you use it with your billy? Because I know you love your billy, which is also from normal.
The first day I did, but the second day I decided to focus on just that because it was a whole thing to try to do it. But now I know how to do it. Now I know how to relax my ass. So
that is wow.
Yes.
I love that. Yep. Loose ass Lem. We love it. That's so good.
Loose ass Lem.
I'm so proud of you, Lem. That's beautiful.
Thank you. I thought I'd share my experience.
Yeah. Oh my God. And also guys, just a reminder, if you go on Normal's website and you want to buy something other than option A, you can use my code Abby for 15% off everything except for option A. So like you can use it with multiple toys. Mm. You can use it with your partners. Honestly, I love it. I feel like I'm a walking really infomercial. But well done, Lem. I'm really proud of you.
Very, very happy.
We need to get Oscar's review next, but unfortunately Oscar isn't fucking here because he hurt his back picking up dog poo. So, I mean, times are tough. All right. We're going to do an Ask Me Anything because I We're preparing for me to go film FY Island. So that's...
Oh, you can say that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a reality, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're... Also, you guys seem to like these. It's just so random. All right, let's go. Someone said, what is your view on egg donation? Recently donated to a couple and they're pregnant. That's a slay. How do I feel about egg donation? I think it's amazing if you can do it. But personally, I feel like, maybe because I don't have any kids yet.
If you had kids, you would do it for someone else.
Yeah.
You'd have little Abbeys.
That's also running weird. Around. That's also really weird.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I would do it. But I think right now I'm like, I couldn't do that because I would just be thinking about the baby being mine.
Well, if it was a gay couple of yours, like say...
No, because then I'd see the baby and I go, I think I'd get really like possessive of the baby.
Okay.
Like knowing, like I'm not that selfless. Yeah. I'd be like, well, that's my baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think that I could do it after I had my own kids. Mm-hmm. I think that it's like, my first kid's going to be with someone else. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
People
that do that are such amazing. Yeah, people that do that are like surrogates, amazing people. I go, how the fuck are you doing that?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Especially if you don't get paid.
Yeah, in Australia, you can't get paid.
Yeah.
So, like, I know people that have had surrogates, and I think that's amazing. I unfortunately don't think I could do it. I think that I would become way too attached to the baby. And I.
Honest.
And not in a way of like, so therefore surrogates don't care. No, but like, I think I would be like, again, I think it's my. That I haven't had kids. I think if I'd had kids, I think it would be very different.
Yeah.
But I just don't think I could do it. Do you think you could do it, Lim?
Yeah, I could, I think. If there's a gay couple that I'm close with, I think I have recently spoken about it. I'm like, maybe I would actually. I met a gay couple that I really liked and I'm like, I'd give them my eggs.
Oh, and you're like, hey guys, I really like you. So here's my card.
I've been dating for eggs. Years and I'm like, maybe when they get serious, I would be willing to actually do that. But I thought that the third time around that I see them, like over for dinner when they invited me, would be a bit too much for me to mention.
Oh my God. So you're just keeping in the back of your, like, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
I've got an egg ready. I just think as someone with an absent parent, I probably like, I wouldn't want my kid to not have me.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But like if it's like a loving two guys, for example, who find it really hard anyway to do it, and then I'd be like an auntie. Like I'll come by. No? Okay. It's just a dream.
No. That's amazing. Again, you have kids.
Girl.
I think it's different when you have kids. Like I think it's amazing, but I think I'm too weak to do it. Like I think like I'm too much of a pussy to do it. Cause I'd be like, I just can't like.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Again, I think it's cause I haven't had kids. I reckon if I had kids, it would be very different. I think like,
I know
if there was like, if something that was like technically my daughter, something.
Doesn't your mum call babies it?
Yeah. Like this little thing that's like, I feel like I think I go crazy.
Yeah.
Like it's so amazing people can do that. It's so amazing. Like my friends, like I'm like, that's like, but also I think a lot of the surrogates I hear of have had like, they have their kids, they have their family. Because it's amazing for queer couples to have kids, obviously. Like I'm like, okay. There are people that I know that I would if I was going to, but I fear that if I actually was going to, I might lose my mind.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. I just think I probably would like.
Yeah.
Like it's not that I wouldn't trust them. It's just that I know that I wouldn't trust myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To not like.
Come over at night and grab the baby literally, and snatch like, it I don't away know from what, them.
Like, I don't know. Like I'm imagining if someone like.
It's like a Handmaid's Tale, you know, when she escaped and she was trying to find her way back.
Literally me. But also like everyone's like, you've done this voluntarily.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe in the future, but also anyone that can do it, you're a fucking icon and you're amazing and you're actually like making joyous lives. I hate online dating and I'm too shy to go out alone as all my friends are settled down. Tips. The thing is I can't do online dating because of not having Raya, which I think this year we have to figure it out, Lem. This year we have to get me on Raya. That's how
is that on my task list? Okay.
Yeah, you and Jules, my all assistant. Right. I think we've got to get me on Raya because I'm so sick of this. Every man and their fucking dog is on Raya, honestly.
Abby.
Like, I don't know if you know about the person at my Adelaide show.
On Raya.
I've thought about this, like, thank you, Lem.
Yeah.
Every cunt on Raya, like, first of all, every cunt is on Raya. Everyone that I know in this industry is on Raya. Like, I'm talking, like, from, like, runners. Like, and love you runners, but like runners are like, it's like an entry level job.
Yeah.
And they slay. They deserve to be on Raya. They're in the industry, but it's like runners through to like, obviously like people that are actually like big people. Big people. Everyone's like, why aren't you in Raya? And I go, I've been waiting for 4 years. So I'm not in Raya, but someone at my live show in Adelaide, I did like a bit where I was like, at every show. I was like, I'm sure someone in the room is on Raya. People were like, there was someone at every show.
So you can get invited from someone.
So like you apply and you put in like your Instagram and your phone number and stuff, and then you can have a referral. So you don't have to get invited, but like having a referral helps. I have referrals. I wish I could tell you people who I have referrals from, because Jesus Christ. Like I think I have like 15, 20 referrals, and it's from people that like should have some sort of pull in this area. Okay. And unfortunately I'm still not on. I'm still waiting. People are on there that maybe I would say, not that I don't deserve to be on there, but I'm a bit, let me tell you this person. Let me tell you this person, Adelaide.
Just say it as it is. I fucking deserve it more than other
Sorry,
people.
Sorry, guys, I do. Sorry, guys. I have a Razzi following me. I deserve one fun thing. I can't. You can all go on. I can't.
Yeah.
You can all go on dating apps. I can't. Like, I actually cannot. I've been banned from them all. So, like, I have no way. I actually have to, like, meet people at industry events or just wait for a DM.
Abby Chatfield, banned from dating apps.
Like, babe, banned. Banned. No, but so this person in Adelaide, I asked who he is on Raya, and she put her hand up, and I said, why are you on Raya? And she said, oh, because I make Slay Harry Potter edits on TikTok. And I said, queen, you deserve it, but also what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. But to the person, just go play a group sport or something and fuck someone there.
Oh yeah, this person asked a question. look, yeah, group sport is horny. Is it though? I mean,
theater group.
Theater's horny.
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing is, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to give a Dan Savage answer.
Okay.
If you refuse to do dating apps and you refuse to go out, I'm sorry, you're not going to meet anyone.
True.
That's kind of it. Like, I'm so sorry. This is literally what Dan Savage says. He's like, well, if you don't like going out and you don't like going to dating apps, you don't like going to dating apps and you don't want to do a hobby, you don't have time for a hobby, then I'm not really sure how you're going to meet anyone. Genuinely. Genuinely.
You have to put effort, yeah.
Just put effort in. Like, yeah. that's going to be harsh, but it's like, I fucking hate going out and I just accept that I won't meet anyone because I don't like going out. Like, I go, okay, I'm not going to meet someone that way. It's going to be harder for me. You have to kind of accept.
You reap what you sow.
Yeah, it's so true. Mm. You either have to be like, it's harder for me and I'm just going to wait until I meet a friend of a friend or meet someone at work. Or like, I don't really do it for work. Like, if you work in a male-dominated industry, you've got more chance. Like, if you work, like, I don't know, in like the CBD, maybe you've got some chance. But like, you have to either go on dating apps, go out, or be actively like approaching people when you're out. Like, if you see a hot bartender, like talking to the bartender, or you have to like, if you see someone cute, like, at a restaurant at lunch, you have to go and approach them. You can't just be like idle and waiting and then also be complaining about being single. Also, if your friends aren't coming out with you because they're in relationships, they're actually shit friends.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you're saying, I can't go out because my friends are in relationships, get new friends. They're actually cunts. Like, sorry. If my friends didn't come out with me because they're in relationships, I'd go, grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, I also feel for people who like go out with people, with a lot of people who like, with couples, and you just feel like you're the only one, and then like that's even harder for you to like make connections while you're still like in a double couple situation, for example.
True.
It's a little bit harder, but maybe if it's like one couple, they can like wing for you.
See, I was out with two couples last night, and I feel like it's with four of them, they all get invested in trying to find, they actually like join forces.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
My friends kind of given up though, but like in theory, if I ask them to, they'd be able to find me someone.
Okay. So recruit your friends.
Recruit. I mean, yeah. And if they're going to also like get friends that'll spend time with you without their partners, like go out. I think like also I do hate going out. So I know I'm saying this, like it's easy. I hate going out so much. My fucking nightmare. But I think you should go on the dating app. Sorry.
Yeah.
I can't think of any other way to meet anyone, unfortunately. Unless you're gay, then you can go to like queer bars, but like that's also going out technically, I guess.
Pen pal someone in prison.
That's hot. You could do that. You could pen pal Jen Shah from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. If you know, you know. If you don't, that joke didn't
land. I know. I'm laughing because I don't
get it.
No.
You don't get it.
Yeah.
That's all I've got.
That's it,
hobbies,
yeah.
Hobbies, I guess, but also like you said, pottery. Like pottery is quite like a solo thing.
Yeah.
And also our pottery classes that I've gone to are all like women, like middle-aged women. Like, right. If this person's straight, like they're not really gonna, or it's couples.
Yeah.
At the pottery class.
Yeah, that's true.
So what else is there? I guess sport, but then you have to like learn a sport.
Just dating online.
I'm so sorry. You have a lot of options. Yep. I'm so sorry. Moving on. Do you think you'll have kids one day? If so, is your preference with a man or woman? I mean, I think I will, although climate change is making me feel really sick about it at all times. I feel like it's like a big anxiety of mine about like the thought of having kids with climate change getting worse and worse and worse. And I feel like this year's the first year that everyone's agreed that it feels different. It's way hotter. It's way more humid. Like Sydney feels like Brisbane right now. Everyone's like, why is it so humid? I'm like, it feels like Brisbane. It's like like the equator is getting wider and wider. You know what I mean? I know that is impossible. That's a fucking joke, okay, to any fucking geologists. The equator can't get wider. The equator is a point to the... No, the joke is the heat is getting wider.
Yeah.
I just think I'm too scared to have kids. I would love to. If the climate crisis is sorted out in some way and getting better, yeah. And I don't really have a preference of a man or a woman.
Mm.
Although I'd be fearful about, okay, sperm donors, right?
Okay.
We love it. I'd be fearful about that man. I've seen too many documentaries. That man.
The 100 man.
Yes! Yeah. I'd be getting a friend to give me a donation.
Yeah.
But also me going, I would never donate my eggs, so my friends can give me theirs. Maybe it'll swap. My gay friends.
Yeah.
Rowdy. I talk with Rowdy. You know what? I do it for Rowdy. Yeah. Side note, going back to the start, I do it for Rowdy because I'd see the little chick all the time.
Yeah.
And it'd be funny at least. And then I could get Rowdy's sperm.
Yeah.
And then I could give my egg to Rowdy. Do a little trade, a little deal in an alleyway where we're like, I hand in the egg in a little plastic bag.
So basically you both will have two kids, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. That's actually really can't.
And would be like half sister, half.
Whoa.
Like,
and then also his niece, who I love so much, would be like related to my kid.
Yeah.
That'd be can't.
Pretty much.
Okay. At Rowdy. We're sorting it out. So yeah, I mean, I mean, look, I don't have a preference on who I'm with. I just want someone to be nice to me, which is looking unlikely at this point. So woo, love it. Are you more attracted to men or women as a bisexual cis woman? Okay, here's the thing. I fuck more men because they're easy.
They are.
They're so easy. It's so easy. And it's like something to do and it's less scary. I find more women attractive, but I fuck more men. This is the burden of a bisexual cis woman.
Women are harder.
Women are way harder to get. I'm really scared of them, as I discussed before. I also like, it's hard for me to meet women. Like everyone says to me, and it's so annoying. Everyone's like, just like, you know, like.
Go to the tit.
Go to the bearded tit, which like, yeah, okay, I will. Love it. But like, I'm not approaching people. Like you think that I'm like confident enough to approach people? Like, no, babe. Oh, it's also like people are like, just like, you know, at these industry events, instead of looking for men, look for women. I go, name five queer single women in the industry under the age of 40. Go. Outly queer. Maria Thetil, who's in a relationship.
Yeah.
There's actually no one.
Milo
doesn't come to the Logies. Like, who am I going to meet spontaneously at these events that's a queer woman? No one. Like, that's how I get my fucks, guys. Or I get DMs from these men. So, like, if you're a queer woman in the industry, DM me.
Was there anybody queer at the actors?
Oh, yeah. That was actually the prime queer gathering, I would say.
Really?
I saw the most queers there. But I was way too anxious and depressed to talk to anyone.
Okay.
And it was 35 degrees and I was dripping in sweat and just wanted a mango gelato.
You don't feel hot when you're just sweating like that, I feel. You looked hot.
No, you feel disgusting.
Yeah.
You feel like, and also I was wearing that like a button up, which was so slay.
Yeah.
But like wearing a long sleeve shirt.
But was it like satin kind of texture?
It was like silky crepe.
Yeah, okay.
Like
okay.
It was like, it was pretty breathable. It was fucking cute, like I loved it. But it was like a lot of like, I wasn't in like a singlet dress, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like, and the skirt was really heavy and I couldn't even like shake my ass or anything. Like it was really like, so no, I wasn't approaching people. This is the thing. I think everyone thinks that I'm like approaching people. I'm really not. Like I'm trying to think of how I've met. I don't really have sex that much, to be honest, or with that many people. Really. And I just think right now I'm in like a really vulnerable state. So I probably shouldn't fuck anyone. And honestly, like the thought of dating a woman or like fucking a woman is like so much like extra effort because I probably will care about them. Because as we know, I sometimes don't see men as humans. Sometimes I do struggle to like see them as fully formed.
Gonna go on Sky
people,
News.
100%. But whatever. Like sometimes, because I didn't grow up with men in my household, I connect with women much better.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a bit harder for me to have intimacy with men.
Yes, fair
and
enough.
And therefore see them as humans. So I obviously do see some of them as me.
Okay, no, don't back up.
in on that.
Some of them I do, but like a lot of them I don't. I know they're bad people because in my mind they aren't even people.
All right, I'll legal check that.
Oh, no, but I don't think, what are they going to do? Arrest me for saying men aren't people? No, but I don't know. It's just like.
Feminist gone rogue.
No, I just find it way easier to detach from men. Is the summary of that.
That's good.
Like, I find, no, leave the rest of it in though, because that's fucking funny. But like, I find it way easier to like fuck men and just like not attach to them and just be like, oh, this was just sex and that was silly and like.
Yeah.
Probably a defense mechanism as well from being hurt from so many of them. So it's like, oh, that's whatever. Whereas women, I'm like, all my favorite humans are women or like queer people. So it's like, well, probably going to be obsessed with you. And I just can't handle a lesbian heartbreak right now. I'm still getting over my first girl that I had feelings for.
Yeah, lesbian heartbreak.
I cried about her the other day. What the fuck? I was in my photos on the plane and I saw a photo of us. I started crying, the first girl I had feelings for when I was 20. So I can't handle that right now. Like no other man elicits that in me. And I'm like, I can't. We weren't even dating. We were just best friends, lived together and slept together. And I'm like, I can't get over this.
Yeah.
Ever. I look for her in every girl. So, unfortunately I fuck more men, but I would say I'm more attracted to women, if that makes sense. When are you writing a book? I've been waiting. Also, I love you so much. I gave back my advance. couldn't be fucked. It was just really hard and stressful. I do want to write one. I've got like some ideas for some books, but honestly, I need a moment to like create some stuff. I've got like so many TV ideas, TV show ideas. I've got so many like book ideas. I've got so many podcast ideas and I'm like, just a bit fucked.
What would you write or you might not want to reveal too much?
I don't
want to
reveal too much.
Yeah, okay.
But I've just got a few ideas. I might write a book, but also like, I feel like all my thoughts are on the podcast, so I don't know. Also, like I said, everyone, I'm feeling very depressed today. Sorry for being negative. What have I just heard? I've heard potential rumors. Oh my God. I want to hear a funny story.
What?
Not even funny. Last night at dinner, my friends from Hospo and I were eating dinner, obviously. And we were talking about at the bar we used to work at, there was like a secret bar. It looked like it was a cold room. And you open the door and would go through and it'd be like this secret bar where all the Bucks parties and stuff were.
Yeah.
One of my friends said, guys, remember when there were people in there, when there were women in there, shooting carrots from their pussies onto people and the men would eat it.
What?
And we were all like, no. We were all like, that didn't happen. You're actually delusional. That didn't happen. Anyway, we texted the other girls in the group chat who weren't there from Brisbane. And we're like,
hello, Chookies. Question for Seisha and Ali. Paging Seisha and Ali. Georgie has a crazy story that apparently happened at people in Secret Bar and Kwan were quote unquote shooting carrots out of their pussy.
The cackling in the background.
Jake is rightfully shocked and appalled. It's a lie. He said a carrot of all things. He got a bit sappy with Georgie about it, to be honest.
He was like, Georgie, a carrot of all things. Of all things, a carrot, right? We text the manager who's been there since for longer before us, like who was there for a year before I got there and I was there a year before all these friends.
It's total investigative journalism going on.
And 100%. We text him and we go, hey, just wondering if you know about the story about in the secret bar, someone shooting carrots out of their pussy. We know it sounds insane and we think our friend is making it up. And he goes, lol, yes, 100%. There's still debates if someone ate it though. Anyway, the girls are saying, I've heard these rumors and I'm so glad to know that it's true. Anyway, that was where I used to work. Just so we're all aware of how cooked the place I used to work was. Like that was that like happening and also like wasn't that weird. And like no shame if you can shoot a carrot from your pussy. In fact, jealousy from me.
I'm trying to feel how that would feel like.
I guess it's just like giving like quick birth.
Yeah.
Like when you like push out a tampon. Yeah. You have to have like a strong pelvic floor, but also like I'm worried about the UTI situations. Too many Kegels.
Hope it doesn't have that green stuff on top as well. Yeah.
Someone said, what was your ATAR in school? I didn't do ATAR. I'm from Queensland. So I got an OP. Oh, I can't remember. I want to say 7. It could be 9.
OP.
I want to say 7. It could be 9. It also could be 6. I think it was a 7. I think I got an OP 7. I got into psychology, so I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did psychology for a year and fucking hated it.
No.
It was fucked.
That would be anywhere between 87, 88, or 89.
There we go, guys.
That's really impressive.
I don't think it is that impressive. It isn't really? Like the best. I mean, it's like a fine. It was like a fine OP. I got like A minuses.
Okay.
But I was also working 3 jobs in grade 12, so I didn't have time to actually study. All my assignments were done in my spare. And I would do all my history assignments like the night before. So yeah, I'm assuming you're asking because you're worried your ATAR matters. I'm assuming this is like a year 12 student who is thinking, right? Like no one else would ask that. I just want to say, if you're in year 12, it doesn't matter. Like it actually doesn't fucking matter. Like try your hardest because it's fun to learn. Like I love learning. So like do subjects that you actually like, but like don't like stress yourself over your ATAR or your OP or whatever it is. Cause like it actually doesn't fucking matter. Like I haven't had that question since I left school. Like that's crazy. Like, right? It doesn't matter. You can always go in and do 1 year of something else, then get a good GPA in something you're actually interested in. Like if you really want to be a dentist and you personally love biology, but you don't have the ATAR to get into dentistry, then you can go and do a year of biology, get amazing marks, get straight sevens, and then get into dentistry the year after. You just add an extra year. Like you're okay, you're fine. Yep. But it's just about your fucking ATAR. Literally nothing matters. We're all going to die. Again, guys, very depressed and very positive. Me going, get over it. No, but genuinely, I think it's like I think when you're in high school, it's like you think you're going to die if you get a bad OP and you put so much pressure on yourself and so much stress. And it's like, it actually does not matter. Like it actually, like it matters if like you're trying. I think it matters for like, I think school matters for like creating a work ethic and like an understanding of what you like and like how you work. But I don't think it matters in like, if you've got an OP one or an OP, again, Queensland language, if you've got an ATAR 99 or an ATAR 50, I know what that actually means, but there you go. What are your thoughts on when your partner has a high body count? Does it matter? No, I'm not a child. Why the fuck would I care? I don't think I've asked someone, Americans, although when I was hanging out with Young Gravy, my king, we went for a drink after his show, actually went to Macca's. That was before the boycott. We went for a drink after his show. Him and his DJ, Tip, were talking about like body counts. And like not in like a shamey way, just like using the word body count.
Yeah.
Like saying that body counts don't matter, right? But I was like, you cunts are weird. Like why are you even like talking about this? Like I know you're trying to be like pro-sex, but like what the fuck? And then we like, I think it's an American thing. And then I grabbed these random people off the street and I was like, hey, do you care about body counts? And they were like, look, to be honest with you, I was like, fucking more Americans. Like Americans care about body counts. I feel like Australians don't care.
I don't know. Recently, my brother has been asking me about he's like seeing a girl and he's worried about the body count thing, which comes from, I explained to him, toxic masculinity.
Mm.
I just explained to him like, literally, if you feel like you're entitled to a woman's body in any single way, that is literally toxic masculinity. And I just went and looked it up. So anybody who's thinking about body counts in that way, it's toxic masculinity. It goes back to that. Directly.
Absolutely. And like control over a woman's body and slut shaming and also just like bullshit biological myths, like people saying that your pussy gets looser the more.
Yeah.
Like it's just like bad sex ed as well.
Yeah, totally.
Like that's honestly what it is. I just don't know what, I don't know why you would care either way. Like I just can't comprehend.
If you've been cheated on, for example, some people would care in that way. They're like, oh, then if they have a high body count, then they're more likely to, you know,
be more promiscuous
or be more impulsive with sex. So I'm a bit worried. I'm a bit insecure about that. So I guess that's one way to look at it. What is that?
Do you have any tips on how to get through a breakup? Love you, Chook. No.
Timely.
I wish, I'm very depressed. The only tip that I have is Vera Blue's album Perennial. Play it from start to finish. It's my usual thing, but this is a different breakup for me. It feels very different. But my usual thing when it's just that I miss someone, it's like playing Perennial from start to finish because it's almost like a chronological order of a breakup. And the first song is called First Week. And if you listen to that on repeat until you stop crying, then you can move on to the next level. And then you get through to the end, then eventually you're singing to Lady Powers. When's more merch coming? I'm actually kind of anti-merch now.
Okay.
I feel like...
Elaborate.
I just feel like, do we need more stuff? I'm so depressed today.
I really need to take cutaways of all your answers today. I know. Today.
Me like... going, well, it doesn't matter. Me going, get over it. Me going, do we need more shit? No, but do we really need more shit? I just don't, unless it's like something I can think of that like is like actually useful, but like how many tote bags do you have in your fucking house that are just actually worse than like if we just use paper bags because they've just like created the amount of water it takes to create the cotton to create, it's like,
yeah,
I have so many tote bags that like I just lose. T-shirts, I've got enough. Maybe caps. Caps are slay because caps, I feel like I don't have many caps. What do you think? Like,
yeah, I love caps.
Caps are good and like also like sun safety, useful.
Mm.
And you don't really care about what kind of cap you're wearing.
What, in what sense?
I mean, like,
I care about my caps.
Do you, are you cap heavy?
I'm not capping with you today. Oh. Because
I mean, like, when I put a cap on, am I going for a walk or going to a protest or going, you can have like, okay, you can have a quirky cap and not be a super quirky person. So like a cap can be your statement.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's so true.
And it can make any outfit look cooler. So it's like, if you have like a plain outfit on like a white t-shirt and jeans and you put like a cool cap, it's like,
yeah.
So that's why it doesn't matter because the cap doesn't have to go, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah, you can wear any cap with any outfit.
Yeah.
And you'll use it and it's unsafe. Maybe caps.
What would you have on your cap?
That's the thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing fucking matters, does it? You know?
That's what's on the cap.
Abby is depressed today on the cap.
Nothing.
Abby has cried for the past 48 hours and has only stopped for this podcast and has a lump in her throat right now. Anyway, look, if you've got any ideas for merch, let us know. Maybe I'll give you a free cap. What's your favourite album? Also favourite songs that make you laugh and cry? My favourite album is It's American Idiot by Green Day.
No way.
Like
that's
when I think
a solid
about
one.
When I think about like an album that I love all the songs and I love all the songs every time. I mean, Perennial by Vera Blue probably is like the one that I would listen to more often, but only because I'm sad. American Idiot, every single song that comes on,
that's
I would like
so true.
Go crazy. It fucking goes off. It goes off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fuck, Jesus of Suburbia is such a good song. Okay, I actually love this question and it's actually like a thought provoker for me, okay?
Okay.
I'd love to know your thoughts on men that call women females, but they call men men. It feels like a slur.
Mm.
It feels like, it's always like females. Like they're always saying it in like a, like it's going down to the end of a sentence. You know what I mean? It's not like they're like, okay, it feels, and I can't figure out why, it feels obviously sexist and it feels like it's like said with venom almost every time I say females, but also it feels like transphobic in like a weird way because it's like, I don't know. It feels like a bit like categorizing people. I actually can't figure out why it upsets me. Do you have any words I articulate? Because it actually makes me like feel uncomfortable, but everything else I can like debate till the cows come home. But with this, I actually don't know why.
Because they
really
don't call the males males.
Males. Like, yeah, it's like distancing themselves.
Yeah, in that way, like men and females. I don't know. I feel like it's more an animal form.
It feels like the word bitch.
Yeah.
Feels like the word bitch. It's like you're like saying like, oh, like female. And it's always used in a way
you're
like
a great
females
female.
Always do this. Females always do this. And it's like, okay, but like.
Except when you're at the doctor, I feel like that's a different like situation.
And this is the thing, like at the doctor, maybe it's different. But yeah, you're right. It's, I guess the question is about men who call women females and men men. I just think it's distancing and it's really gross and it's like putting women into a category that's like pocket size almost. It's like, oh, like female, yeah. They're over there. Like,
yeah.
And they're lesser than. And
yeah.
It's always used to describe women as a whole as well. It's always a generalization. Like females do this.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's when it's used especially as a generalization is when you feel, I guess where it comes to me is just like usually the people who use that word also happen to be a little bit too like macho and chauvinistic. It just happens. Like the circles kind of interlap, you know? So
yeah, I feel like you're right. I don't know anyone that would, females. I also think using the word females makes it seem like we're like a specimen.
What about a woman using the word females?
Feels internalized misogynistic. I don't know why. It's like, it's also like, I think when you say females, it sounds more like someone stating a fact about a group of people. Like it's like females do this. Whereas if you say women, I feel like there's more room for debate about it.
Yeah.
But if you say females, you think you sound like you're being like females will always want a man that provides for them. Do you know what I mean? It's like evolutionarily females as though like we're part of the animal kingdom, which like we are, but like.
Yeah.
They're saying in a way to remind us that we can't change our natural instincts and we can't change what we actually want, which is a protective big man to take care of us.
Yeah.
By making us work full time and also take care of fucking kids. Great. Love it. That's it. Sorry, Chooks. Fucking depressed. Really depressed. Never been this bad in my life. So I hope that was a really uplifting episode. So that's it. Sorry for the depressing episode. Someone asking me questions, me going, shut up. How do you manage ADHD relationships? I don't, because I'm single and depressed.
She's going to just ask.
What? Literally, me going, chicken or cheese Swiss cheese? It doesn't matter. We're all going to die. Like, chicken, though, obviously. All right. Love you, Chook. Sorry for the depression. Bye.
Listener Production.